Welcome to another episode of Them Aspergers. Yes.
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
Nothing.
Again?
Yes.
Why are you saying yes?
I don't know. Warrior.
Why are you saying warrior?
He says yes.
All right. So? What's going on?
Nothing really. What's going on with you?
Not a lot. Nothing too major. Nothing too burgery. It's been a relatively simple week, maybe?
I don't know. You've had your interview.
I did. I hate interviews.
Yeah, I feel like that was quite burgery. That was quite a...
Yeah, it was kind of sprung on me too.
Yeah.
I wasn't really told it was coming. It just kind of happened. Like the day before it was going to happen, they just told me it was the next day. It was going to be tomorrow. At the same time, though, I couldn't have really prepared for it because I can't prepare for them anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody on the spectrum gets a job through the job interview process, because it just, I don't know, I don't understand it. I think there needs to be some sort of, I don't know, something in place for those on the spectrum if they want to do an interview. There must be like a different version of one that can be done. It seems weird that we're all have to take the same interview process as like a NT person would, because it is, I think it is quite social, interviews.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a social thing, because you've got to have a conversation with someone. You've got to portray yourself a certain way. And like I found with the one I had, that you spend all your time, like when people ask questions, trying to figure out what they're asking.
Yeah, like what they mean by whatever question they're asking you.
Yeah, because it's not like a conversation where you're just talking to someone that you've just met and, you know, you're just chatting in general, like stuff that doesn't really matter, or, you know, what's going on with your day or that kind of thing. This is like each question and everything you're talking about has like a different purpose, or, you know, has to meet certain criteria, or is like graded or has points or something, you know. So I spend all my time when I'm having interviews thinking, what are they asking and why are they asking it, and what are they really like, what do they really mean, what are they really looking for? And I get too like weighed down with that I kind of lose what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure what they want, you know. It's that, and it's always you and like two people. There was two people at this one I did. Some guy asking questions, some guy writing down what's being asked. I feel like there should be something in place for those on the spectrum if they try and get a job, because yeah, interviews are the worst. I don't think I've actually ever got a job through an interview. The job I've got now, like I knew the person that was running the place, so I got in that way. And I think all my jobs that I've got a job, well, all the times I've got a job, is because I knew someone working there.
Yeah, I think it's the same as school. So you know how in school everyone is expected to learn the same way by being sat in a classroom and listening to a teacher, and essentially then the way you're tested on it is by an exam at the end for almost every topic.
Yeah.
I think in the same way that that's a thing, that's what interviews are. Everyone's expected to do it the same way regardless of how they learn or demonstrate, because I know what you mean. I know you have a thing that I agree with about how in an interview you can just lie. So it's not done on merit or past performance or what you've proven you can do. It's more just who can talk the best talk, which, yeah, does seem odd.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Because especially for the interview I went for, the job I know I can 100% do, but I find it weird that it's graded on the answers I gave. and nothing else. Yeah. So a social, well, not social, but I suppose like a social interaction with a person will determine whether or not I can do something. But the fact that it's been proven I can do something doesn't matter. It's how I socialise with one person.
Yeah.
That'll affect whether I do it or not. I find it difficult for... I don't know how anybody in the spectrum gets a job. Unless, I guess, you've got some sort of degree or qualification that's more important than how you interviewed. Or unless you just tell everyone you've got Asperger's before you get in the interview.
I think it's also different depending on the type of job. Like, the sort of job we're in, which is retail, I guess it is more about being personable and that sort of thing, where... whereas if you've got a degree and you're going for a job that's more academic, I guess, just showing that you have the knowledge is probably enough. I don't know. I would just imagine that showing that you've got the skill set and the knowledge there and just enjoy the subject that you're talking about is probably enough.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's... we'll see. But that's it. That's all that's been going on.
Yes.
This week for me, we did have another classic yesterday of someone trying to use autism as a way of getting what they want, which I enjoy. I don't enjoy.
No, it kind of makes you feel conflicted because, what we had was just someone tell us, basically, because we couldn't do something for them. Because we were following store policy and we couldn't, that we'd cause their child to have a meltdown because they're autistic. And it's just not a very nice thing to hear. It's difficult because it felt like it didn't need to be said, and it just made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, she did just come in and just sort of say, my child's autistic, like, he's having a meltdown now. I think she asked me if I was happy about that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's just like, it's the policy, like, it's the rules. It's not us. It's not like I knew he was and just thought I fancy causing this kid a meltdown. And because I understand Asperger's, I know how to do it. But she kind of said it I know that I know that you've got rules to stick to, but because he's autistic, you don't have to stick to these rules and you need to make special, like, allowances for this. It was odd. It's been a while since I've had someone try to use their child's autism as a way to bend the rules of what they want. And I'm always never sure when they do it to me whether to tell them I am as well. I always, like, when somebody straight away goes, well, he's autistic, so, like, you've done this or you've done that, or he won't understand because he's got Asperger's, I do sometimes think, do I tell him about me? I've not done it yet, although yesterday I think I almost did.
You did almost, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever seen you almost do it. I was really surprised.
I was going to go, I also am autistic, so I understand, but there's nothing I can do at a store level. But yeah, I've never done it before, but I think at this point I've kind of just had enough of people trying to use it with me, assuming that I'm not as well, just as a way to get what they want. Like, I kind of feel like they're hoping that I'm neurotypical and that I have, like, a level of ignorance towards autism, that I don't understand what it is or how it works, and that by mentioning it to me, I'll do what they want. I've kind of got annoyed with it, which is kind of like the topic of today. It's kind of like myths about Asperger's or the misconceptions people have about what Asperger's is.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like this woman yesterday was hoping that I would have the misconception of what it is, and she was just going to throw it out there. I feel like she threw it out there. She used the word meltdown, which not a lot of people not on the spectrum, you know, or have never really come into contact with anyone on autism know what a meltdown is. And I feel like she just wanted to use it as a way to guilt me into doing what she wanted, when really all I was doing was what my job was, what I'm supposed to do. I've never understood when people do it, because I just think, well, like, I'm just somebody that works in a store. Like, I'm paid just to do whatever the company says I'm supposed to do. So I don't understand when people throw it my way. Like, I know that, like, because the company is like a big faceless thing that you can't really confront. So they want to confront, I suppose, someone they can talk to, and like, because we're like the people in the shop, it's us it has to come to. But I swear, like, because I've worked in retail a long time. I've worked in retail, I don't know, it's been over like 10 years now. Well, yeah, probably well over 10 years. But it's only recently, so it's only like in the last, I would say, 3 years, where somebody's mentioned that somebody they know has got autism, and that way I have to make, like, exceptions. It's only, like, a recent thing, and it's always moms of children that do it. I've never really had anyone say, I'm autistic, so can you do anything about this? It's never happened. I've never had someone that's actually on the spectrum tell me they're on the spectrum to try and get something. It's only ever parents. Yeah, in this case, it's usually moms. I don't get many dads of autistic kids. Because even yesterday, the dad was the first person we spoke to, but he didn't bring it up. It was the mom that came back in and brought it up. And I get it. But it does seem to be a thing that moms keep telling me their child's autistic and that they need special treatment.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're looking at it. I mean, we couldn't change store policy. We can't change what we've done. But I don't know if we're looking at it from a different angle, because of when we were children, we didn't know. And no one knew about us. So I don't know whether it's just because, for example, when I was having a meltdown when I was younger, my parents wouldn't have known it was a meltdown and would have just assumed it was, I guess, a tantrum or an overreaction or something, and would have just sort of left me until I'd calmed down. And I don't know if that has helped me now, because it means that now I don't have meltdowns as often over sort of little things, because I sort of, as I was growing up, was just taught that that's, you know, like, if I'll just be left until I calm down. I don't know if it's helped, because I kind of feel like it has. I worry sometimes that if I, every time I had a meltdown when I was younger over little insignificant things, and I was treated in a way that was suggesting, like, it was okay or been trying to calm down, then maybe I would have brought the same level of meltdowns into my adult life, of just because a lot more can go wrong when you're an adult and you don't have your parents to, you know, like, help you out. Not that my parents wouldn't help me out, but, you know, I live far away from them and I live on my own and I pay my own bills and things like that. I think it would worry me that I would have more meltdowns. I don't know.
Maybe we don't talk about the topic that we were going to do, which was the myths and misconceptions of Asperger's. Maybe we'll do that next week. But this week, maybe then. I suppose we can talk about, like, I suppose the pros and cons of being kept away from stuff or not being exposed to things. Because, like, obviously, I thought about this yesterday with this woman and her child.
Yeah.
And I know after she'd left, I mean, you had a chat about it, like, briefly. Like, I was thinking, like, you can't protect somebody on the spectrum from meltdowns. Like, no matter what they're happening.
Yeah.
I suppose she was trying to limit them.
Yeah, and I can see, like, I can understand that as a mother or a parent of someone on the spectrum, obviously you don't want to see your child suffer and you don't want to see your child upset. And especially if it's a regular occurrence of meltdowns, probably you're just almost like a little bit exhausted. Like, I can understand wanting to keep the meltdowns to a minimum. But equally, yeah, as you say, you can never stop them. And if you do, I don't know. I don't know if what I'm saying is right. I don't know whether it's just because I got older, I learned that I can't have a meltdown every time I go to the supermarket and they haven't got what I want to buy. Or whether it's because when I was younger, if I'd had a meltdown over that, one of the things my mum used to do when I was having a really bad meltdown was just sit me on a chair. She'd pull out one of the dining room chairs up into like the middle of the living room and sit me on the chair and just make me stay sat on that chair until I'd stopped. And then once I'd stopped, she'd let me off the chair and that was it. But she didn't, she'd leave the room while I was doing it. She wouldn't be sit me on a chair and, calm me down or anything like that. I'd just be sat on the chair until I'd calm down and then that would be it. I don't know whether that's helpful or not.
Did she ever do that with your sisters?
Not that I remember. I mean, my sisters are both older than me. One of my sisters is 7 years older, one's 9 years older. So I suppose they were probably too old for me to remember if they did that. But I never remember it happening with my sisters. So there's no point in my life that I remember my sisters being sat on a chair to calm down. But I definitely remember that it happened with me. And on reflection, I would say it happened with me when I was having a real meltdown. Like, I'm not sure that it was a tantrum or just me being upset. From what I remember, it was hysterical crying and just being completely out of control. And I think, yeah, that was when I was having meltdowns.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because same with the thing yesterday. If the dad, when he brought the thing in to try and get it refunded, had said before he did it, by the way, if you don't do this, my son's on the spectrum and he will have a meltdown. So he's autistic. He needs this swapping. And you just need to do it. You need to, not follow what procedure is, what we're supposed to do, and do it. Like, would that have made any difference? Because I don't know, it seems weird that he's had the meltdown. So even if we had have done it after she told me and gone, oh, I didn't realize he was autistic, I didn't realize he was having a meltdown, bring it back, we'll do it, he still would have had the meltdown. So like, it's not like it reverses it, they still happened. So I'm not sure what was achieved by telling us after. I feel like it would have been more effective to tell us before if they were really trying to protect their son from having one,
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if, because obviously if somebody grows up and they're completely shielded from meltdowns all the time, so everything that they learn what the triggers are of their child and protect them from all the meltdowns they could possibly have. What happens when they become an adult and they don't have and there isn't someone stopping them from having the meltdowns, and I don't know if it's better for them to experience stuff that will cause them to have meltdowns when they've got a parent there who can be with them. I mean, I suppose in your case, your mom in the chair. Or like, if it's a parent that knows the child's on the spectrum, they understand that meltdowns are going to happen, but just learn the ways to deal with them, like deep pressure therapies or the things that calm people down. There's quite a few people that are on the spectrum that have meltdowns, that there is a way to get them out of them quicker. You just need to learn what they are for the particular person you know or are dealing with. Like I said, in your case deep pressure seems to be the one stop you for get you out of them quicker.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think learning stuff like that helps, but I'm not sure about trying to protect somebody on the spectrum from meltdowns completely their entire life, because, yeah, eventually there's going to come a point where they stop and they become an adult. So unless they're going to live with their parents forever, and their parent will always have to be with them for everything, or if they do become adult and move out and do stuff, they have to figure out their own things. Like, I mean, obviously I live on my own. So do you. I don't have like the protection, and there's loads of situations that I find myself in all the time where they're a nightmare, and everybody else just copes. You know, everybody else, yeah. It's not a big deal, and I know I'm struggling. And it's just that self-awareness of knowing I'm struggling. But I think that's down to the fact that I grew up not diagnosed. You know, I didn't get diagnosed until I was in my mid-20s. So, you know, I went till then just experiencing stuff that would cause me meltdowns that were massively stressful and caused me a lot of anxiety. And just learnt my own, like, mechanisms and ways to deal with them and, like, that kind of thing. So now I don't really need support. I don't really have support. I mean, I have a social worker, but I don't ever see her. Like, I haven't seen her in months. You know, like, my family are available, like, on the phone, but I don't live anywhere near any of them. So, like, I don't have the same protection or support at all. But I don't know if that's because I've gone undiagnosed my entire life, and because of that, I have taught myself how to just deal with stuff. Or I don't know if it's just my particular version of Asperger's has made me be this way. It's hard to tell, but I don't know if I grew up diagnosed really young, if I'd have been kept away from everything, not having to deal with anything, and, you know, had been basically anything that came up that I understood was bad for me or would have been a trigger just for, like, my mom to have, like, kept me away from all of it, and, you know, done what other parents have done and saying, my kid's autistic, so he's not going to understand this, you need to do this, you need to do this for him, or this happens. I don't know how I would be now. I don't know if I'd be the same or if I'd be completely different and find that even though I understand my Asperger's, I imagine if I got diagnosed young, I'd understand my Asperger's in a way that is way more detailed and way more, like, I would get it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd understand it way more than I do. But then, which means I'd probably be able to isolate myself from everything that I know is going to be bad for me. But would that make it better or worse? You know, it's hard to tell. I suppose because Asperger's now is a common thing. And I think there's starting to be a wave of people that are in their late teens, early 20s that were diagnosed as children, that were diagnosed when they were like 4. So I guess only be able to tell by how that generation of people on the spectrum ended up, because I feel like everyone in my generation and obviously previous ones are different. You know, we've had to just live normally.
Yeah.
In the NT world without anybody telling us that we were on the spectrum. So we have just had to, you know, live by NT rules, live an NT life. And I don't know if not knowing that you're on the spectrum and living an NT life is different than knowing you're on a spectrum and having, like, I guess, changes made so your life is less NT. I don't know what the impact of that is. Because obviously if I had a meltdown when I was a kid about something like what this woman's child experienced, it would just be seen as a tantrum.
Yeah.
And I would have just been told that's life.
Yeah.
And these things happen. And there's no need to get this upset about it. Which obviously when you tell that to somebody on the spectrum, it's hard for them to come out of the meltdown because it's involuntary and it can't really be controlled. But after you've had the meltdown, you do think, did I overreact?
Yeah, I wonder if because of being told, like when I was younger, being told you are overreacting or that was an overreaction. Because I do remember quite vividly that I would just calm down and then feel fine and feel like, oh, why was I upset over whatever I was upset over? I do remember that feeling. And my mum, before I could get off the chair, would come and like say to me, what's going on? And me'd be like, I'm fine now. And she'd be like, yeah, that was a bit much. I wonder if that's why now, as an adult, whenever I have a meltdown, I always afterwards feel just a bit stupid. Like, as soon as I'm done with the meltdown, I always think, like, well, that was unnecessary, or why was I acting like that? And it is pretty much instant. As soon as the meltdown stops, I think, oh my God, like, how embarrassing. What a big deal I made over nothing. And I don't know whether that level of being a little bit embarrassed and ashamed of having meltdowns comes from them not being accepted when I was younger, because like I was told that I was overreacting. So I don't know if that's a, I guess that would be a con of not knowing, because as a child I was told like that was overreacting, that was bad, that was naughty. And now as an adult, I feel the same way. I look at meltdowns in the same way. I always, every single time, I can't think of one time that I've had a meltdown and thought that was an okay reaction to that situation. Never. Every time I have them, I feel really embarrassed afterwards. I feel like I have to apologize to anyone around me. And yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if people that were diagnosed when they were young have meltdowns, and obviously were raised to tell that they're perfectly natural and an acceptable behaviour for somebody on the spectrum, that they don't have that after. They don't have the realisation that it's not something that can be controlled and it's totally fine. Like in my instance, if I'd have taken something back to a store, say, and I really needed it swapped, and I got it swapped, well, I mean, so they wouldn't swap it, and they told me that nothing was going to be done about that. And I had a meltdown because of it. I think once I came out of the meltdown, I just feel like it's fine. Like, you know, it's one of those things. Like, that is what their rules are, you know, and I agreed to that. So, yeah. Fine. But I don't know if I was diagnosed as a child and raised to believe that meltdowns were acceptable and a normal behaviour of those on the spectrum, if I'd have then gone into a shop, told I couldn't have something, have a meltdown, I don't know if my frame of mind wouldn't be, calm down is one of those things. I don't know if my frame of mind would be, okay, so that just caused me to have a meltdown, so I've obviously been wronged in some way, because that wouldn't have happened otherwise. Because obviously my meltdowns are a trigger of an over-emotional response to something. Obviously, that's not the case for everybody, but for some people, meltdowns are just literally a wave of emotions all happening at the same time, just from one thing not going the way they want. For me, my meltdowns are a build-up of things. So my meltdowns work on the basis of it's a build-up of different things over and over again. So I don't know if I was diagnosed and had the meltdown. I just think, well, I've obviously had it for a reason. They've obviously done something wrong, because I wouldn't have had a meltdown. I've been told these are the rules to things before and it hasn't resulted in a meltdown, so something weird's happened here. And I don't know if that would make me pursue what I wanted more. You know, like maybe put in a complaint or write to head office or, you know, that kind of thing, because I feel like it triggered a meltdown and that means that something bad has happened. I don't know if it would be different if I was diagnosed if I'd think that. Whereas obviously now I just think I'm having a meltdown because I didn't understand the policy of the store and I didn't really think about it, and I got it in my head that that is what they do and they definitely do it. And then when I got there, my meltdown was just due to the fact that I thought something was going to happen that didn't happen, and that's what it was. But then I think about, like, my meltdowns, like I've said, are a build-up of things going wrong. So I never really have meltdowns over one thing. I've never had, like, a complete, easy time of things. Everything's gone well, everything's going according to plan, and then have one thing happen that causes me a meltdown. It's never happened. My meltdowns are always a series of events have caused it. But I don't know if that's because of the way I was raised. So I do think that maybe the reason I'm like that is because, obviously, when things happened in the past that would have just triggered a meltdown straight away, I was told it's not a big deal and don't overreact and why are you throwing a tantrum about this one thing? This is a bit ridiculous. So I don't know if I do that a little bit now when things go wrong. So when things go wrong now in my head, I just go, it doesn't matter. Like, just get over it.
Yeah.
And I just ignore it. And then it goes in, like, the back of my mind. And then something else happens and I'm all like, it doesn't matter. Just get over it. And then that's the next thing that's added to the first thing. And I just keep doing that until eventually one thing happens where there's no room left, you know? The room where I just store this stuff that I don't care about is full, and I'm trying to put another thing in there and it won't go in, so it's a meltdown, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas I suppose if I was raised to just let the meltdowns happen and accept that meltdowns were a normal thing of Asperger's, would I have one every time something went wrong? Because there's not that part of me that tells me it doesn't matter, just get over it. I just think, no, it does matter. Like, you know, like if you're raised with someone that tells you that meltdowns are a normal part of being on the spectrum and you have to, you know, you just have them and that's that, and they just let them happen. Does that mean that people on the spectrum that were diagnosed young and have now grown up will have them over everything? Anything that happens, they'll have them because they were never raised to just be told to get over it, you know?
Yeah.
Because obviously a lot of it is learned behaviour and routine, and like when we covered coping mechanisms, you make your own. So if your coping mechanism is meltdowns are a perfectly acceptable thing to be on the spectrum, you will just have them all the time, surely.
Yeah. Then equally, like, I do think, is it better to have them or better to not? Because I find for me that if something's bothered me, I'll ruminate over it to like an obsessive point of I'm thinking about it constantly. If I have a meltdown over it, that's it then, and I'm done. And I don't feel the need to carry on obsessing over it. Whereas if I don't have a meltdown over it, I'll just carry on ruminating. So I don't know whether it's could be better to have a meltdown, but then be over it and not have that thing stored in your brain anymore, or to not.
Yeah. Do you think meltdowns like kind of get rid of it, kind of reset?
Yeah.
So once you've had one, you won't have one again about the same thing?
Yeah, sometimes I feel like they almost like cleanse me.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
I think it's different for you because you don't really have meltdowns anymore.
No. But you kind of like end up comparing yourself to other people on the spectrum when stuff like that happens. So even though, like, had I have told this woman yesterday, well, I'm on the spectrum too, I'm also autistic, I don't know what it would have achieved.
No.
I don't know why I almost tell her, but I almost told her. But I don't know what would have happened had I have said it. I don't know. She wouldn't have gone, oh, okay then, that's fine, and just left. I can't see that being the end result of me telling her. And I'm not sure why I went to tell her. I don't know what in my head made me think that that would make the situation better if I told her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what would have come of it.
What I found really strange about it, and I mean, this is maybe off topic for the podcast, but I just didn't understand this. Her husband, when he came in, I spoke to him and I was the one who told him that he couldn't get what he wanted.
Yeah.
And it was me, and he didn't speak to anyone else but me. But then when she came in, she pointed you out and wanted to talk to you. And that was the thing I found really odd, because she said that because of you, her son was now having a meltdown. And I couldn't understand that because it was me.
Yeah, I wasn't involved in it.
Yeah, I did find that confusing. But yeah, that might be a side. That was just a side thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if, I don't know what me telling her would have achieved. I don't know if I was looking for, like, I'm going to do this again. Whichever. Empathy? Is it empathy?
Sympathy.
Oh, for God's sake. Right, sympathy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I thought in telling her she'd... Because obviously she was trying to use her son's autism as a way for me to change my mind and make allowances. So I don't know if I kind of thought, if I throw it back at her about me, she'll not be as, like, aggressive or... You know what I mean? Like the way she was.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have made a difference. But for some reason, it felt like I wanted to use it. But I always feel like I'm being compared to other people on the spectrum anyway. So I don't know if... I don't think it's when it's like autism to autism. But when I've ever told, when I've told someone who's got a friend, relative, whatever, that's on the spectrum, and I go, me too, and they say, well, I don't think you've got it as bad as they do, or you must have a mild, a mild version of Asperger's. I do, it does always, like, offend me a little bit when it happens. And it could have happened yesterday if I'd told this woman. She could have said, well, obviously, like, my son's got it worse than you. Because people see me, like, at work behind a counter doing a job. And obviously we have other people come in that are older that don't work. Two people in particular that come into the store all the time and don't work and make a big thing of saying, we can't have a job, we've got Asperger's. They don't know that I'm on the spectrum, and I never really tell them. But they always do this thing of like, well, we'd love to have a job, but we've got Asperger's, so we can't work. And I never say anything, because it just becomes a competition of who's the most disabled once you get involved in that kind of thing anyway. And I don't want to involve myself with it, so I don't. But it does always make me think, like, do they have a point? Do I not have it as bad as other people? And like you said, like, you have meltdowns quite regularly. I don't. And that's just because I have kind of taught myself how not to have them a little bit. I'm not, like, completely, like, impervious to it, but it's less likely for me to have one than I would say most people on the spectrum. But that's just because I've taught myself loads of techniques to not have them. So, I mean, like you said, it's been nearly a year now since I've had one. Which is, I think, the longest period I've ever gone without one. But I've kind of mastered, like, how to not have one. But it still, people still, like, I suppose, make that comparison. And like I say, it's very rare that you find somebody on the spectrum who will talk to you. And me and you have never compared which one of us has it worse or anything like that.
No.
We've never had that conversation. But I do feel like when I bring it up about me to anyone, they always just do the, ah, yeah, but do you? Do you know what I mean? And I always find that a bit annoying. I always find that a bit insulting that they go, but do you? Like, you don't seem like you do. Like, I know other people that are on the spectrum. And they're not like you at all. So are you sure you do? Like, maybe you were misdiagnosed. Maybe you don't. And yeah, I don't know why I would have mentioned it to this woman yesterday. I always feel like sometimes when I mention it to parents that I also have Asperger's, I kind of want to do it as the, like, not in an arrogant, like, or egotistical way, but I kind of just want to do it like, look at me. I'm the same as your son. And I'm here, and I'm doing a job, and, you know, I'm able to, like, maintain a normal life. I kind of want to do it in a sort of, like, it won't always be this way. You know, like, your child is having a hard time now. And I imagine, as a kid, it was harder to deal with for me anyway, in general. I imagine my childhood was the same. I think I used to have, like, loads of meltdowns and tantrums and that kind of thing, and I used to smash stuff and that kind of stuff. So I do sometimes want to tell parents as a sort of, like, as a sort of relief to them, almost, of, like, it'll get easier as they get older. Because there's loads of people that I see on social media and Facebook and that kind of thing who either think, I've heard some people claim that they're cured of their Asperger's, but, or I've had people go the other way of going, I thought I was cured, but then I've realised I'm not.
Yeah.
And we've had some people message us on our group saying the same thing, that they thought that it had just gone away.
Yeah.
But what you don't realise, I guess, is as you get older, you just learn to live with it a lot better than when you were a child. When you're older, you just invent your own coping mechanisms, techniques, whatever, to deal with it. And you don't when you're a child. So I sometimes want to tell parents as a sort of, like, don't worry. Like, I don't think they'll always be like this. But then sometimes I just want to tell him as a sort of, like, don't use that as a bargaining chip or as some way to, like, exploit me into doing what you want. I feel like in me telling them about me, they understand that I understand what they're saying, like, completely. But then that also means that I'm not going to budge either.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if we're talking about, like, pros and cons of being diagnosed early vs young, late, or whatever, I would say a pro of being diagnosed early, and I don't know if this is the case because obviously we weren't, so I don't have anything to go off, but what I imagine a pro would be is being more comfortable with the fact that you're autistic. Like, I, one, feel uncomfortable, I mean, partly because I'm not diagnosed, but also because, I don't know, just I feel slightly uncomfortable with appearing different. Not as much as you, but I still feel it. Like, I don't want to appear like, for lack of a better word, like a weirdo or like different, you know, like,
yeah,
that's something that you don't want to appear as. But also just kind of sometimes I, when I'm really struggling with something, when I'm like on the verge of having a meltdown, or when I like when something's changing, because if there's one thing that I really, really struggle with, it's change. When change is happening, I have the worst mood swings about it, because I go through waves of being like, this change is absolutely fine, and then like 2 seconds later I can be on the verge of having a meltdown because I think like, I can't deal with this change, and I just flick like a light switch back and forth. And it's times like that that I really hate that I can't deal with it, and I get really frustrated. And I think, like, I just don't want this anymore. Like, I just want to be NT. And there's NT people that feel the same way about change anyway, so it wouldn't necessarily make a difference. But I imagine if you're diagnosed young, you've got this acceptance of it that you maybe don't have if you're older. Not for everyone. I imagine there's people that are diagnosed young that don't have that. And there are people that are diagnosed when they're older that are totally accepting of it. But I feel like probably just in the more common cases, you'd be more accepting of it if you've always known, whereas I don't feel very accepting of it.
No, I know what you mean. I think there's like better, there's better like guidance, I guess, if you're diagnosed young. I've always thought about like what would have happened or where I'd be now if I was diagnosed younger. I think because if you know, you can understand it at an early age, like it can develop with you as opposed to you developing it based on what's happening to you.
Yeah.
And I think you grow up to be, you know, like you learn what your burger strengths and weaknesses are, what works for you, what doesn't. And then you, I guess, pick paths or decisions in life that are friendly to it or work with it, you know. Whereas I suppose when you're not diagnosed, you just kind of guess, you kind of just go into stuff thinking, oh, I don't know how this is going to go, or you don't try stuff because you know that it's not going to work or you're too like anxious to. But I guess if you're diagnosed young, when you try new stuff, you have like some sort of support or changes made, you know, so you could do it. It's like you going through uni, me going through uni, that kind of thing. Like, I imagine there's guidance through school as to what you want to do. Because, like, in my case, when I was in school and you see, like, careers advisors and that kind of thing, and they tell you what you want to do, as someone on the spectrum, I don't have a gut feeling.
Yeah.
I don't have one. It's something I've never had. I am horrible at making decisions because I don't have something in me that tells me which is the right decision, which is the wrong decision. So when I come to any sort of decision making, I literally just guess. I think I'm just 50-50. I try and weigh it up strategically of like pros and cons, but then you run into the like obstacles that people on the spectrum have. So like being able to do hypotheticals is a difficult one. So trying to pick what would happen. So if you think about the decisions of both, if you think about what would happen if you did one or if you did the other, and try and predict the future, basically, of what could happen. I'm not good at that. I can't weigh up which is the best decision to make. I can't decide on what it is. And I don't have a feeling of I'd be good at that, or I like this, or that kind of thing. So picking a career choice or that kind of thing is difficult because there's nothing in me that says, well, I'd really like to do that, or I think I'd be good at this. I don't get that. So what I have to do is just randomly try stuff and see what happens. But I don't know, and like it was in school, like when you have careers guidance, and every time I sat with a careers advisor and they said, what do you want to do? I'd just be like, I don't know. I'd get it in my head that the careers advisor's job
was to tell me what I'd be doing. And they don't do that. They just sort of ask you what you want to do, which would always, I'd always be like, I don't know. And it was like, well, what are you good at? I don't know. What can you see yourself doing? I don't know. Do you want to be like front of house or in the background? I'd be like, what are examples of that? And they'd give like basic examples and I'd just be like, I don't know. So it never went anywhere. So like you find it difficult. I kept trying to make other people make my decisions for me, like parents, friends. I used to be like, what do you think I should do? Or if you were me, what would you pick? And those that didn't answer would just always go, I don't know, I'm not you. But those that were stupid enough to answer, I'd just do what they said. So if they just went, if I was you, I would go to college, I'd just be like, good, college. That's where I'm going. But I don't know if, like, if you're diagnosed young, I don't know if there's help with that. I don't know if they work it out for you.
Yeah, I also think maybe there's... and again, I don't know, and it definitely depends on what country you live in as well and your education system, but I don't know if there'd be more help with education, because I know for me, I was fine at school, and I know not everyone is, but I was fine at school up until A-level, because at A-level, I don't know what that is elsewhere in the world, but for me, at A-level, so when I was like 16 to 18, I really struggled, because at that point, the work wasn't like taught to you, it was more self-study and learning it yourself, and there was more coursework and things like that, and I couldn't do it. Like, I struggled so much, and I went from being quite clever and always doing quite well to really not doing that well and being like below average, and I couldn't work it out. Like, in my head, I just thought that I'd got dumber, which I kind of felt like, why am I doing so badly and really struggling? And I think it was just because it was a way of being taught that I wasn't suited to my learning, which applies to NT people as well, because everyone has a different way of learning, and being expected to all learn in the same way is difficult. But I don't know if you're diagnosed younger, you do get more help with education, which would have been something I'd have been grateful for. I don't know though.
Yeah, I think there is. I think you do.
Yeah.
Like my entire like academic life, so you know, I always got below average grades. Like all my grades were rubbish. But I was always told, like in parents' evenings and like that kind of thing, that I was intelligent and that I should be doing really well and I should be in the higher sets of like every course and that kind of thing. And they kept saying, like, we don't get why he's not, and we don't get why he's choosing to be disruptive, or, you know, to not concentrate in lessons, or basically all the stuff that my Asperger's was making me do. But I'd always just get people saying, like, he could do better but won't do better. And they said they found it frustrating trying to teach me, because they said that they knew I could get it, but I just didn't want to get it. And it was the same thing all the time. I was always told that, like, just needs to apply himself, could be really good, but won't do. And it was like that all the way through school, and then all the way through college, and then all the way through uni. I was always told that I could easily do better, but they just felt like I was either lazy or just uninterested in it. So I think, like, if I was diagnosed younger, I probably would have had somebody in lessons with me, you know, helping me, like, pay attention or stay focused. Or if I didn't actually understand something, I didn't want to make out, especially if the whole class understood it, but the way it had been worded was too confusing and I was trying to work it out and couldn't. They'd just ask me if I got it and I'd say yes, and then they'd go, well, what is it then? And I'd answer it and it would be wrong, and they'd just sort of go, so you weren't listening? And I'd be like, no, I was. And they were just like, well, you weren't, because everybody else understands, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Everybody else was listening, you weren't listening. And I'd just be like, no, I was listening, I just, that is the answer. And they'd just be like, well, no, it isn't the answer, because you weren't listening. And I just get into these like full-on rows with teachers where I know I was listening, and I know that what I've said is what I think it is. And they would just argue with me because they thought that I was smart, and so I was just choosing to be difficult. they, you know, like, say I wasn't somebody that was, like, that intelligent, or someone that just seemed to not be able to absorb information in any way or form.
Yeah.
They'd probably accept that I didn't know the answer to something. But they just felt like I, of all people, should know the answer.
Yeah.
And the fact that I keep giving the wrong ones, they just thought I either just wasn't paying attention all the way through school, or I just was choosing to know the right answer but give out the wrong ones just to disrupt the class.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I was diagnosed, there'd be an explanation for that. And same with uni. And like I said, my degree, even though I've got a degree, but like it's such a low level degree that I just never use it. I never bring it up. I never tell anyone. I'm a little bit embarrassed by it. So I never really like say to anybody I've got a degree. And I never would ever tell anybody that it was what grade it was. And I had like the lowest degree of everybody on my course, because everybody, when they got their degrees, were all like comparing them and talking about them. And I was just like, yeah, I got one. I passed it. It's fine. And they're just like, what is it? And I was like, oh, it's at the time I'm off, you know? Yeah. But yeah, like once again, I don't know if I'd have been diagnosed. But then if I'd have been diagnosed, I imagine I would be doing completely, I would have done different like GCSEs, I would have done a different college course, different uni, different everything. Because I'd have had someone going, why are you picking this? This isn't for you. So yeah, it would be completely different. And maybe like I'd have a job now that wasn't, I mean, obviously what I do for a living is not what I want to do for a living.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it the other day that the reason I picked retail is because of my whole wanting to appear NT and appear normal and like pretend like I'm not on the spectrum. I figure that's why I picked retail, because I'm always in like the public eye. I'm always like seen by the general public all the time. And I think it's just an ability to be out in public and have no one know that I'm on the spectrum, like even our own staff. So I feel like that's why what's kept me in retail is not because I'm good at the job or like the job. It's just it's exposure time to the rest of the world to appear not autistic.
Yeah.
Which is still something I do. It's still one of my big coping mechanisms, is to make NT people believe that I'm what they are. And that's how I survive, I guess. That's how I get through like the day to day, is to not appear autistic at all.
Yeah.
But I suppose if I'd have been diagnosed as a kid, I wouldn't want to hide it. I wouldn't have hid it.
Yeah.
I would have tried to keep it where it was, which would have got me noticed more, which if, I mean, obviously when I was a kid, it was like mid 80s to like early 90s when I first started going to school. So there wasn't anything in place anyway. I wouldn't have had support because there wasn't support. I'd have had to have been born much later on for me to get support. It's not like had anyone noticed I had Asperger's when I was that young at that time that they would have gone, oh cool, here's a support network. There would have been nothing anyway.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Like, I don't really blame anyone for, I mean, actually I blame university a little bit for not noticing, because by the time I got to university, everybody knew what it was that was in education. It was knocking around. I think there was somebody on my course that did have Asperger's that had help. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
I knew it was there. But I think, like, I don't really blame anybody in school for it. But I do think, like, had I been diagnosed when I was a child, and if there was a support network, like, I would be completely different now. I think my traits, everything would be completely different, because I wouldn't have been misunderstood all the time. I wouldn't have been in trouble all the time. And I wouldn't have tried to be like everyone else as a way of trying to keep myself out of trouble.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to say what would be better, because we only know one thing. We can't do hypotheticals, and I don't think there's a right or a wrong. I think if you spot it in your child and you get it diagnosed young, I think that's like brilliant. I think, because in a way, like, I feel like that would be better. There is a lot of kind of frustration that comes from getting diagnosed late and then looking back at your life and going, oh, that's why I did that. And if I'd known then, I wouldn't have done that, and I wouldn't have made myself do that. And maybe, so that, I think in terms of, there is almost like a regret to not knowing for me, and I know for you, like there is this weird, but if I had known, if I had only known, it would have been different.
I was angry for a long time after getting diagnosed with, not myself, just with everybody else that just let me live a life that was not right.
You
know? Yeah. I went through that for a long time once I got diagnosed. I was just livid with every like institution and like whatever I'd been involved with that just let me go on as normal. I hated that it had taken so long for anybody to realise this in me. And I did almost think, like, even though I was in my mid-20s at the time and I'm in my early 30s now, that it was too late to do anything about it. That my life, I'd done all the key moments in my life that should have required a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And therefore I'm stuck like this now. And this is what it is. Yeah. So like I had that, and I like really wanted a diagnosis when I was younger, because I feel like things would have worked out better.
Yeah.
Less like that now, but that's for, I think for a good year, I was just angry with like every school I'd been into, every teacher I'd seen, like every job I'd had. I just hated everybody that just let me struggle and didn't help me with anything. It's different now, like I've kind of accepted it, but yeah, I know what you mean. Whereas I do think like young diagnosis would have been better, but then like you said, we don't do hypotheticals, so I'm just trying to think that everything now is not how I wanted it to be. So I just think like I'm being diagnosed as a child was the thing that most should have happened. But like you said, like, I don't know that for sure. And I'm not saying either way is better or worse. Both have their
pros and cons.
Yeah. But I did want to think I should have been diagnosed younger.
Yeah, like I imagine we'd both be different people.
Yeah.
Whether we'd be better or worse, I don't know. It's just it's the sort of thing that I think we discuss sometimes. Definitely, we have discussed it more in the past. And I thought, I think it's been interesting to discuss. Like I say, I don't think there is a right or a wrong.
No.
I don't know. Because I know my mum said that she always thought I was on the spectrum. And I think for her, the main reason for not pushing for a diagnosis or anything was, I think she sort of thought that I'd grow out of it.
Yeah.
I kind of think that was her mentality. Like, I've never really asked past her saying that, but I think that's kind of what she thought. And I think my parents do think that I've grown out of it, because I'm an adult now. And when you're an adult, you do behave differently to things. Like, you don't really see it in me, but I know it's there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know it's there in social situations. There's times where I'm being quite social and you probably wouldn't know that there was anything up. But in my head, I think, I need to get out of this. This is stressing me out. But you can't tell, because on the surface, I look fine. And I think that is what my parents seeing didn't recognise. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you mean. If you seem normal in a social situation, everyone's just carry on doing what they're doing and you're carrying on doing what you're doing. But then obviously it pushes you like past the limit you can deal with, and then you just have like an outburst.
Yeah.
And for anybody that's not you, and everybody that's having that conversation with you, they don't see it coming. They just think she's fine, this is great. And then you just freak out and then just like, what just happened?
Yeah.
They don't see the build-up. They don't know that it's coming. And you know it is, but you're trying to avoid it from happening, but then you lose control of it and it happens. But to everybody else, it just looks like you just had a random outburst. But even with, like, a diagnosis when I was young, and even with, like, doing what I do now, it still wouldn't help me in a sense of, it's not something that's visible. That's the thing with autism, and I suppose it's different to other disabilities, is it's not like I'm in a wheelchair or something like that. Something that people could just look at you and go, oh, you know, he's different.
Yeah.
So it's still difficult for life in general, because I still look the same as everybody else and I still most of the time behave the same as everybody else. So at this point, it doesn't really make a difference, because what am I supposed to do? Like, even if I did tell, like, my bosses, higher-ups, I've got it. Like, it's not like I could have support at work. It's not like I could have someone come in and like be with me the whole time while I work. So
yeah, that's true.
It's still the same for me now than it would have been. And this is like what we're saying, like at the start of this, where like this child has his mom now protecting him from stuff, but there's going to come a point where he's on his own. Like even if I'd have gone and done a college course or uni course that was better suited, or did better in school because I had the help, there'd still come a point where I'd be by myself. I'd be doing a job by myself. You know, it's still like, it's not like in work. In school, you can have like the support, but you can't have it in work. They can make changes, but you can't have someone sit with you and help you do your job.
Yeah.
I guess you just pick a job that's better for you.
Yeah.
But so still now, like it still irritates me that I am not NT, but I'm being spoken to by people that think I am, and they expect me to do things that I can't do. You know, like if someone's just telling you something and they want you to sympathize with them.
Yeah.
And I can't, so I don't. But then that just, to them, that's, I'm giving bad customer service because I'm not seeing it from their point of view. That's sympathy, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm not seeing it from their point of view, and so I'm just bad at my job. But, like, what do I then do? Do I then just go, oh, sorry, but I'm on the spectrum and I can't. So, I don't know, maybe you need to talk to somebody else in this store that's not me, because I can't help you. But then, I don't know where that goes. Like, am I expecting sympathy from them? They go, oh, you know, this little autistic fellow behind the counter here, like, can't help me. Like, yeah, good for him for getting a job, though. You know, when you get that kind of, like, that almost, like, patronising.
Yeah.
Like, well done. Well done, you. Like, you're doing a fine job. You know, I don't know if I expect them to just turn to completely normal and go, oh, really? Oh, you know, like, well, you're doing all right. Like, this isn't, you're doing, but that wasn't bad. Like, you know, that's fine. And then they move on to someone else. If that's got to happen, then should I be there?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? If I can't do the job without having to bring it up to get myself out of situations I can't deal with, should I be doing this job in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, it makes you ask those sort of questions. But then if I don't do this job, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Because, like I said, my qualifications, my education, and my general people directing me in life has really been wrong. So I, at this point, have nowhere to go because I don't know what to do. So I just stay in the job I'm in. But if I have to keep using my Asperger's as a way to get me out of stuff, like, then what am I doing?
Yeah.
It does make me think about stuff like that on the regular, really. That I just think, like, do I have to keep throwing it about? And I've never mentioned it to a stranger yet. I've never said to somebody, sorry, but I have Asperger's too. This woman yesterday was the closest I've ever got to doing it. Had she have hung around? She didn't, though. She just walked out. I said, well, I'm actually, and then she just went, this isn't the last you've heard of me, and left.
Yeah.
But if she'd have just stood there for two more seconds, it would have been the first time I'd have disclosed it to someone I just didn't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how that would have worked out, because we had a lot of new guys on. Obviously, a lot of Christmas temps are working. And there's a good portion of people that work in our store that don't know that about me still, that don't know I'm on the spectrum. And I would have just said it out loud in front of all of them as well. Would that have made them see me differently as their boss, you know? So it could have been, I don't know if, it, like you say, it's one of those things where, like, had I been diagnosed young, it would have changed everything. Had I have said it yesterday, would that change the way everybody in the store saw me, everybody we work with saw me? Would it have changed anything with this woman? But, like, there was a part of me that was going to do it. It's not like I wanted to or thought about it. Just for some reason in my head, I just thought, just tell her, and I almost told her. But, like, I don't know what would have happened had I have said it.
Yeah, I'd be interested to, the people that are in our group, and feel free to join the group if you're not, but I'd be interested to hear from people that are listening, like, what your experiences with things like this are. Like, do you find that you tell people, or do you find that you don't? And does it help? And, like, just your thoughts on this whole topic, because, like, it's kind of a learning curve for us as well. And I am sort of interested, because I've never done it either, and you've never done it, telling a stranger. But I'd like to know if you find that helpful or relaxing, or how it affects you, or if you also choose to not, and why you think that that is the choice you make. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd be interested.
But that is the end of the episode.
Yes. Next week we're going to do, like you said earlier, we're just going to talk about sort of like common...
Somebody asked us on Facebook about things like Rain Man, for those of you that have seen the movie, and like people that are portrayed as autistic in the media, and how that makes you feel, and like what the common view is. So what the people that don't know much about it but have heard it, what they think it is, and how really it's not that. Just what the misconceptions are about people on the spectrum. Because obviously when you tell people you've got Asperger's and they don't really know what it is, they've only got off like stuff they've seen or famous people in the media that are like usual fictional characters and that kind of thing. They sort of go, oh, like Rain Man. And you just sort of go, no, not like Rain Man. You've not seen Rain Man, have you?
No.
No. So this is like, people that have listened to this, there'll be a few people listening to this that have seen it, they know what I mean. And yeah, it's just that when this, it kind of ties into this week, I suppose, because if you have a misconception or a, you believe like some of the myths about Asperger's, and I tell you I'm on the spectrum and I've got Asperger's, you apply those misconceptions to me and assume that's how I am. And that's the same for everybody. So next week, we're just going to talk about some of them that aren't true and just how we're viewed by, I suppose, people that don't really know what it is. And how that has an effect is what we're going to do next week. But that's it for this week. Yes. Thanks everybody for listening again. Thanks everyone following our pages. Our, I suppose, like our group's getting bigger, our pages get more subscribers all the time, and our podcast is growing, so which is great. Like, really appreciate that. And if you could share this with people that you know that you think it might be useful for, or if you just want to share it to people you know you and you want them to have a better understanding of Asperger's, is there any particular episodes we've covered that are relevant or what's the word I'm looking at? Is resonate the word?
Yeah.
With you, and you want to play it to somebody just to let them know how you really are or to understand you better, that's great. That's really what we want. We're trying to just do this to get awareness and have people have a better understanding of what autism is, well, Asperger's in particular. So yeah, if you think it'll help anyone, then go for it, because like obviously we want to get this out there at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, our Facebook page is at Them Asperger's. We have a Twitter site that is being run by my mom at the moment, so if you want to find us on Twitter and follow that, that would be great. And yeah, join our group. There's a group on our Them Asperger's page. You have to have it approved by me and Scarlett, but like I'm pretty good at checking that daily now and getting people in there.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.